Very good. All right, and I've got, this is kind of like the Gong Show where the guy kind of starts creeping up. The amazing and effervescent Jay Santiago is, look at how he cleans up. Doesn't he look amazing? He looks like he's out of the J. Crew catalog there. This is where I need to pray him in and get onto the good stuff. So we're going to talk about Ecclesiastes, strong men in changing seasons. So come on up, Brother Jay, let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I thank you for my dear brother Jay. I thank you for, this group of men and how blessed we are to gather and to learn about you, to worship you in spirit and truth, and that we have this freedom. Lord, I pray that you'd be with brother Jay. I know you've placed an amazing message in his heart, and I pray that he would deliver that with passion and excellence and with confidence, knowing that you are speaking in and through him. Please open our hearts and minds and allow us to apply it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I receive it, Daniel. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And the clicker works. A little bit of water here because, I don't know what happens when you end up speaking. Your mouth gets dry. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Oh, let's try that again. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Today we're in Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes, that's like a big word for a Puerto Rican like me. It's like I could have said, maybe I need to do it in Spanish, but it's the same thing, Ecclesiastes. So it's a motor skill that I don't have. But as you know, it's one of the most quoted chapters in the Bible, and I want to start with a simple question. Have you ever been in a season where you couldn't fix it, where you couldn't speed it up, where you couldn't slow it down, where you couldn't control it, where you felt powerless? I believe that sometimes when we call to teach and be able to teach the Word, God is going to give us some object lesson throughout the week right before that happens so we can really, really relate to what he's trying to tell us. My object lesson was Saturday morning, about 2 o'clock, my wife wakes up. I have pain in my chest radiating through my left arm. I'm like, don't know much about that, but I do know that that does not sound good. Then you ask the question, in a setting of 1 to 10, what is your pain level? And she says, 5. Well, for a woman that I've seen deliver 3 babies, when she says 5, she really means 8 or 7, right, or 9, right? So I said, let's get up. We're going to the hospital. No questions asked. Let's move. You go through the doctor. Show up in the emergency room. The medic said, you said pain in chest radiated to the left arm. They immediately say, immediate triage. Okay. I didn't even have to pull my ID card it was immediately to the back. Next thing you know, there's all kinds of people, medical professionals, just all over her, putting probes and things just to monitor her. And all I can do was sit on the side. And I felt powerless until I started praying. See, for many of us, that feeling is uncomfortable. See, we like traction. We like progress. We like solutions. We like to be in control. And Ecclesiastes 3 speaks about those cycles and seasons in life that I was just talking about. It tells us that in these seasons, we probably don't have control. But it also tells us that God is not absent from these seasons. And since we're talking about discipleship and we're focusing on compassion, we're going to try to see how God deals with us compassionately throughout these seasons. But how strong men practice compassion towards one another. But let's do okay. Oh, there you go. So for a little bit of context, right, in chapter 1, and Scotty, I was in here last week, but I listened to the podcast, man. What a amazing delivery. Thank you so much for sharing your heart in that and sharing the history. I didn't know that Ted and George were actually pursuing the white whale at one time in their lives, but that was actually very, very cool. But it talks about life under the sun where it feels like vapor, hevel, right? Busy with no cycles, right? Cycles with no lasting gain. In chapter 2, Dallas, over a couple weeks before that, we went 2 and then first, so now we're going to get back on order. He delivered a very, very, very powerful message that basically said, I've tried everything, and there was no joy in that. I've tried everything, and there's no joy in that, right? But the best thing that I can do is just live every day as if it's a gift from God. And now we're in chapter 3, that if I was to ask a question about how to summarize it, well, it would be, if we can't control life, how do I live wisely in the season that God appoints, right? How can we be strong men in changing seasons? Well, I'm not going to go through the book, through the entire chapter, because we can be there for months, right? I'm just going to go through selected verses here. Verses Ecclesiastes 3:1, where it says, "For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under the heavens." And the poem continues, and you know it, right? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time for war, a time for peace, right? We're going to talk a little bit about Ecclesiastes 3:11, where he says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he puts eternity into man's heart." Then we're going to go to 3:14, where he talks about, "I perceive that whatever God does endures forever, and nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away." And we're going to end up in Ecclesiastes 3:20-22. That's really the core verses that I'm going to be talking about here. And I'm going to be offering a couple observations. Observation number one, you're in a season. Turn to your brother on the right-hand side and say, "You're in a season." Okay? Turn to the brother on the left-hand side and say, "I'm in a season." Okay? Where's Scotty? Scotty, raise your hand. Turn to Scotty over there and say, "Great season." Our Hoosier guys over there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Turn to Tom Ferguson. What's your team? Yeah. Say. Look at her and say, "Next season." Ecclesiastes starts really with the reality, and it's that for everything there is a season. It doesn't say not some things, but there's a season for everything. You know, it's a poem that lists kind of the opposites: life and death, tearing and sowing, silence and speaking. It's telling about circumstances that take the entire spectrum of the whole human experience, right? And here's what mature men can learn from this: that strength in a season is not pretending that you control the season, but strength is living faithfully inside a season that you're in. It's been said that you're either going into a storm, in a storm, or just came out of a storm. So how do you act within it? See, some seasons you choose, right? Like your football team, right? Next season, right? But others, like speaking and being silent. And sometimes I'm manifested that I've chosen wrong, right? When I need to be silent, I'm speaking. And when I need to be speaking, I'm silent. But other seasons happen to you, like loss, grief, limitations, waiting. When I'm in the corner in that hospital room and they're working all over my wife, all I can do was wait, right? But if I refuse reality and I just see what I have, right, and I just fight it, then I waste energy fighting where God has me in place as opposed to devoting that energy to being faithfulness with Him. By the way, my wife was okay. She was just the victim of many people moving snow that became blocks of ice, and then she just strained and had a pinched muscle that really affected her. It looked like, but it wasn't there. So she's fine. Praise God for that. But until I was seeing monitors and I was seeing red because of high blood pressure is directly to pain, and it was high. And next thing you know, until the doctor came and gave me that, I could not move from that season. And gave me after the diagnosis was done. So let me say this plainly. See, there is a time to build and a time to stop building and a time to deal with what's broken. There is a time to push and a time to endure. There's a time to lead from the front, and there's a time to sit with someone that's in pain. You know, a verse that steadies me is Psalm 35:15 that says, "My times are in your hand." Another way of saying this is, "My seasons are in your hands." See, acting in wisdom isn't forcing a season. See, strong men that are grounded in Scripture know that acting in wisdom is faithfulness inside that season. And here's where compassion quietly begins to Once you accept that seasons are real and that you stop judging other people harshly for the different seasons that they're in. See, somebody near you might be in a season of mourning, and you might be in a season of rejoicing. And compassion means that you don't demand that their mood matches yours. Compassion means that you meet them where they are in their season of life. Observation number two, eternity in our hearts. It says, "And he has made everything beautiful in its time." Wow, what a great verse. "Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Man, this means something important. That restlessness we feel, that desire for more, that feeling of success that isn't enough, it's more than stress. Yeah, it's a longing for something more. It's called eternity. This should change our perspective from the earth to eternity. It should change our worldview, and our worldview being defined by origin, meaning, morality, and legacy or destination where we're going. See, the world tells you your origin that you are a mistake. God tells you that, no, you're designed in my image. The world tells you that your meaning is whatever you make it up. God tells you, no, your meaning, your purpose, I have given it to you. Before the beginning of time, you are my workmanship, my art, my piece of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works before time began. That's what God tells you. The world tells you that your morality is might makes right, whatever, whoever's the biggest gun associated with that, whoever the biggest guy on the block. God tells you, I am the supreme standard, and we all fall short. Therefore, we need a Savior. The world tells you that your destination, once you're dead, that's it. God tells you, that's not what I created for you. I created you for eternity. Where you're going to spend eternity, that's a choice that you get to make. Today, I don't make an assumption that everybody here is a believer. But if you have not made that choice, today is a day. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Today is the day that you can change your position from living eternity away from God or with God. And this is where God shows his compassion towards us, right? Because he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believed in him will have eternal life. Observation number three, God's work endures forever. Now in verse 14, whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God has done it, so the people fear before him. All chapter long, he's talking about the churn of time, one season after another. Then in verse 14, he kind of lifts up the camera and gives us a different view. This verse moves us from our experience inside of time to God's enduring work that stands over time. He lifts our eyes, so the swirl of the season, so God's work, to recognize it, to tell us that God's work is lasting and it's untouchable. Do you know that when God speaks to us, he speaks from the eternal now? Our seasons change. God's work endures. Our control is limited. God's purpose is not. And it says that God does this for what? So that people fear before him. This calls for reverent awe and wonder and humility to be before the throne. See, my life changes. God's work does not. God's sovereignty is not cold. God's sovereignty isn't detached power. The God who works endures is also the God that's compassionate. See, in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are anew every morning. So when you hear nothing can be added or nothing can be taken away, don't hear a cold distance. Hear the steady, fatherly care. The same hands that created and hold time are the same hands that hold you and me. Observation number four. Thus, humility and hope. Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, all go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust shall return. This echoes what we heard in Genesis 3:19, which says, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. See, mortality is a great equalizer, right? It strips away pride and exposes our fragility and who we really are, right? Then in Ecclesiastes 3:21, it says, who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? He's looking at somebody die and look at a beast die, and they both get buried, but who knows? By observation alone, right, you can't tell where they're going to go. That's what the teacher's saying, right? This is the teacher's point, is that by human sight, the human sight has limits. But when you look at Scripture, here's where our hope. It doesn't leave us without hope. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed to man to die, and after that comes judgment. So we will die, and there will be a judgment. How we get through that judgment is a question. And if Jesus is with you, that payment's already been done. It's not about what you've done, the resume that you have built, the seasons and how you got through the seasons. It's not about your resume, it's about your referral. Right? So, man, mortality is meant to humble us, but not paralyze us. It calls us to live ready and to live clean and to live a compassionate life towards others. Looking at other people like it's the image of God. See, if God remembers that we are dust, like in Psalm 103, it talks about that he knows our frame, right? Then we should treat people with the same tenderness, especially the weary, the grieving, and the ones who are barely holding it together, especially the ones who don't know Christ. Here's my final observation. In Ecclesiastes 3:21, it says, So I saw that there's nothing better than a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? We see a glimpse of this in chapter two. We see it again here in chapter 3. That today is what you got and live it as a work of God. Answers for Ecclesiastes don't come into chapter 12, to the end of the book. But this is like a foreshadowing, right? He says, in chapter 3, it doesn't end with despair. It ends with a wise response, right? Which is to rejoice and do good and receive the daily life as a gift from God. He said, so here's the deal. So I cannot master time. I cannot control time. So the best that I could do is be a good steward of the time today. It ends with a probing question. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Let me ask this in a different way and make it a little bit more personal. Who can give me insights into my legacy, your legacy, on this side of heaven? I'm going to propose something to you. Maybe Jesus can give you insights. All right? I propose that living a life to surrender to Jesus would better equip you to live a life for today, living for his glory and not for our own, with his purpose in our hearts. In Colossians 3:12, talks about, and I'm paraphrasing, to put on them compassionate hearts. Here's a simple compassionate challenge for the week. There's a man right next to you. Find a man that it's in a season. Identify one person at home, at work, in your group, that's going through a hard season. Be a safe place for him, not another pressure point. Be present in his life. Make a difference. And seasons change, but God doesn't. So trust him in your season, whatever season you're in. Be strong in the Lord, receive his compassion, and reflect that same compassion towards others. You will find that you will make a difference because you're reflecting the love of Christ. And that is a season to be in. Let's pray. Father, our time is in your hands, and so teach us how to be faithful in the season that we're in. Help us to be strong men in whatever season you put us in. I thank you. I thank you that you have compassion on us, that you know our frame, and remember that we are dust. Help us stop striving for control and rest in whatever you're doing, because what you do endures forever. And by your Spirit, may we reflect your strength and help us put on compassionate hearts towards the people that is around us, that you bring around us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.